Okay, public hearing number two is a rezoning at multiple sites along Brookside Boulevard, Oak Point Highway, King Edward Street under file DAZ 223 of 2013. The city is the applicant.
Okay. The city is the applicant, okay. Who's speaking on behalf of the city?
I guess I am.
Mr. Loney?
Yeah, I'm
okay. Go ahead.
Sat in that seat before. Should I move?
Yeah.
Okay. So the reason for this application is to restore land use rights that were in place prior to bylaw 200-2008 coming into force. And in order to do that, the bylaw that is most like the ones that were applicable to the subject lands is the zoning district is zoning district M1. So that is why we're recommending rezoning to M1 rather than any other zoning district. There are 49 properties by roll number, and all the property owners were notified by mail of this. And so were owners of properties adjacent or very close to those properties. And I think that's about it.
So basically, what you're aware of?
So basically, Mr. Doney, what you're doing here today is you're just bringing the current zoning in line with the complete communities or the R Winnipeg document?
Yeah, it's actually, it will make the zoning consistent with complete communities. And two of the properties are not in a general manufacturing policy area, but because they're near a major road, Oak Point Highway, rezoning to M1 would be appropriate because they're on a major corridor, which is a policy area of complete communities.
So are you saying that there are residential yards that back onto some of these properties?
Yes, and they've been there for quite some time before the current bylaw came into force. And before the current bylaw came into force, the land use regulations were much like what I'm recommending the change go to.
Never been any complaints that from the residential here?
I don't know. I did not research the history of the complaints.
Okay. Thank you very much. If there's no other questions, thank you very much.
I could add something, though, that some of the residents did contact me to get clarification on what this meant, and they did express, some of them expressed their concern with how one or two of these industrial uses were operated. So not a historical thing, but very recently that was expressed to me.
Okay. Yes, Mr. Young.
Can I add something?
Sure.
Just for context, the this area has always been sort of a heavy trucking area. The industries built around that. And would effectively, because in the former zoning bylaw, there was commercial highway districts. And in the 200, the current zoning bylaw, there's just commercial districts, but not commercial highway. And commercial highway was like a hybrid of industrial / commercial. So the effect of the passing of the new bylaw made all of these trucking industries along Brookside and Oak Point Highway non-conforming rights overnight. So that's the reason that it was actually a fairly big oversight then to change the rights of those property owners. So this rezoning to M1 really restores their rights to the best possible zoning bylaw that's available under the current bylaw.
Okay, thank you for that clarification. Good. Okay, we'll ask you to stand down, and we have some delegations here. Support? Sure. Is there anyone else in support of the application for items number two? Anybody else in support? Anyone else in support? Okay, so we have registered some people in opposition. Mr. Brian Stevens, are you in the audience? You wish to speak, sir?
Yeah.
Okay. Good evening and welcome. State your name and address for the record, please. We're just digitally recording the proceedings, and you'll have 10 minutes.
My name is Brian Stevens, and I live at 118 Allwood Crescent, and our property backs onto BFI, which is one of these properties.
Okay.
We've had problems with these people for some considerable time, going back 2011. We were calling about garbage, smelling, dust problems, weeds, eyesight. You know, they had garbage right up against the fence and over a 9-foot fence. Double bins of old garbage stacked above the 9-foot fence. We have 7 garbage trucks that are visual in my backyard alone right now, and nobody can seem to do anything. It's almost like an auto wreckers there for garbage trucks. They have taken parts off. They've had trucks jacked up in the air. There's fuel on the ground. It's almost like oils and lubricants have just leaked out. And these are the experts in waste management. In June, my wife called Jason Chartrand, a bylaw officer, complaining about the terrible smell from BFI. The nauseating stench of rotting garbage and animal feces was unbearable. You couldn't even sit outside. After the bylaw officer visit, they said it wasn't that bad. They could smell a little bit of garbage, but it wasn't all that bad. But they weren't there on the Canada Day weekend, when our weekend was totally ruined by the stench. After their visit, it seems like the smell got worse in the evenings and the weekends when the bylaw officers are not working. The last week of May 2012, I went to BFI and talked to Dan Cyrene. I told him we were having a church benefit on June 3rd and asked if they could help remove the unsightly garbage trucks that were right up against our fence, and if they could do something about the smell of garbage. He agreed that we shouldn't be exposed to the smell, but when it was time for the barbecue, nothing had changed. Friday, June 29th, the second year in a row, our Canada Day holiday again was destroyed. I phoned BFI office and asked how to spell Dan's last name. And when I told them I was going to call the media, she put me through to him. I could hear him laughing with his associates in the background. I asked him again to come. Over 20 times I've asked him to come and just have a look and see what the problem is. But he's too busy or not interested. God forbid anyone complain to the city. But finally this year, we discovered what they were doing to make our lives a living hell. It was July 3rd. Our oldest grandson had just graduated high school, and he invited about 10 of his friends for a barbecue and a swim. We heard a truck pull up close to the rear fence, and immediately you could smell the stench of animal feces. I jumped up on the ladder and yelled to the driver that it smelled like shit. He laughed and said, "That's because it is shit." I jumped in my car and I drove into the BF yard to confront the driver. His name was Don. I also spoke with Rod and asked who instructed them to park against this fence. The dispatcher, Mike, had told him to park there. I told him they better move it because I was going to call the police. I took a picture of the trailer, SR6603, Manitoba license plate. The police couldn't help. I then called Mayor Sam Cates and I left a message on his answering service. I didn't hear back from him. The next day, Friday, July the 5th, our provincial MLA, Ted Marcellano, visited BFI in the morning, and then he came to our backyard. I said he came too early to smell how bad the fumes were. It won't happen until the bylaw officers are gone for the day. But I was wrong. At 1:51 p.m., they dropped another trailer load of animal feces right up against the fence when our MLA was present. The license number on this one, SR6604. Later that evening, they brought a double trailer load of animal feces, license SR6527. Both remained until about 3 a.m. Monday morning. I could hear them banging out in the yard. Woke up, it was a very smelly weekend from the bad fumes industry. Our neighbor, Randy Sawatsky at 243 Egas went to complain about the stench all weekend, and he was told his neighbor, me, had a bad attitude. He can go and F himself. He returned later that week and spoke with a Mike Lohan, who said they would move the trucks behind the fence. That didn't happen until August 6, 2013, and by the 8th, they were replaced with six garbage trucks and a semi-trailer that is still visible above the 9-foot fence. After the MLA was here, we didn't experience the trailer loads of feces, but on July 14, 2013, they parked a trailer load of garbage, causing, again, a sickening smell. We have been awakened numerous times with the banging of garbage trucks between the hours of 12 and 7 o'clock. It's like an explosion. They back up, and then the beeper of the truck, beep, beep. We hear them, we smell them, and we see them. It's like a bad commercial for bad fumes industry. And according to the bylaw officer, vehicles that are insured are not considered derelict, so they can remain there. So I said, well, these license plates, there's no tires on them. They're sitting there. They may have the license plate, but when I call the police, they can't tell me if these vehicles are insured. I call AutoPath. They can't tell me if it's insured. So the fact is, this law is only good if you happen to be a bylaw officer and have the legal department look into if it's properly insured. When they remove parts from the vehicle again, the fuels and lubricants are just dumped onto the ground. With these trucks parked so close, there's no way a fire truck could even get in if there was a fire. And we have had fires. We have actually, about 4 years ago, called the fire department. We saw a flame shooting about 35 feet into the air, just not too far from this spot. The bylaw administrator coordinator, Martin Miller, asked me what it would take to make me happy. And I said, proper drainage to Route 90. That's another problem we've had. Their yard drains into ours. Our garage has dropped a foot. They actually built a trench along the back of our yard, about 100 foot along the back, and then it comes out into the lane. And our garage is again, it's all the sills have rotted out on the bottom, and it's dropped between 8 to 10 inches in spots. I said what they should do is to stop the noise is put up a proper sound barrier like they've done on Route 90 or Inkster between Route 90 and Keewatin to stop the noise, and high enough, 128 inches, I measured it, just so we wouldn't see them as bad. I have pictures of weeds. We have a house in Arizona, and we had a ground covering less than 3 feet. There wasn't a weed above 4 inches, and we were fined by the Homeowners Association $25 for this small amount of weeds. I have pictures. Their weeds are over the 9-foot fence. Nothing has been done about that. My neighbor, he phoned and complained about his yard, about the weeds, and within an hour, they had this 50-foot semi parked right along the back of his yard. That's basically all I have to say about that. The noise, again, is bad. We cannot open the windows at night because between the smell or the noise, so our air conditioning is going on a regular basis. We've replaced our liner on our pool. The water pushes the liner up and literally tears it apart. So that's what I'm objecting to with it.
Okay, thank you very much.
I have pictures if anyone wants to see any of what we're dealing with. Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Stevens, we have some questions of the committee. Councilor Edie.
Yeah. The MLA for the area was there. I know the province has a number of.
Well, you can put them there. Okay,
just hold on.
Okay,
go
ahead. I'm sorry?
It sounds like it's a troublesome situation, but the MLA was there. I just have a. It sounds like there's some violations of some environmental laws may be set by the province. Did the MLA for the area investigate as to whether or not they're like this spilling of fuel, how they're disposing of animal excrement? Was that investigated at all?
Well, I don't know what's happened about it. We talked to Mr. Pakatan about it. My wife had called him before. He was aware of, I think, some of the problems we were having. We talked more to your assistant. And then we got a hold of the MLA, Ted.
So you don't know if he investigated if BFI is breaking
any environment? I know on the Monday he was talking about it was $120 to get an occupancy permit to find out what they were allowed to store there. But what I've seen on the computer, there's, I think BFI can carry animal feces at their location further out, but not.
There's a place to dispose of such stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's all out. So anyway, I just wanted to see if you explored that. That's all I have for questions.
Yeah.
Have you lived in that house since it was built?
We've lived there since 94. June 94 we moved in. And at that time, BFI, there was only one service building. But I think it was about 5 years ago, they doubled the size of the service building, and that's when our problem started. Like initially, you know, we didn't see garbage trucks up against the fence. They were way in the distance. And then at one time, they rented the space out to custom trucks, and they were there. They were pretty good neighbors for a number of years. The biggest problem was they would plow the snow into the back corner right behind our yard, and at least they tried to get it out, you know, in the spring after we complained a few times. But when custom trucks was there, there wasn't noise and there wasn't the smell. But it was after they put up the second service building at this location is when they're in our face so much.
Okay, Councillor Sharma.
What is your address again, sir?
It's 118 Allwood Crescent.
Allwood?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for your delegation. I can see on my computer here an aerial view, so you have a nice yard, it's a large yard, and BFI is backing right onto you, and I can see that they have several trucks right up against the fence. They've got all kinds of bins. You've also supplied us with some pictures. We'll be asking our administration. I mean, at the end of the day, we want BFI to be a good corporate citizen. I mean, on this, and they are neighbors with the entire area that you live in. So we'll certainly. I mean, it's good that you're making your presentation. We do have a member of the media here, so it might pick it up, and we'll see if we can try and help you out that way. But in terms of the purpose of this actual rezoning, it's you know, I'm not even sure if we have any hammers that we can ask, but we can certainly make a request to BFI on your behalf to be better corporate citizens than they are currently today. Okay, thank you, sir. Next up, we have Marion Huckel. Did I say your last name right?
Huckel,
sorry.
That's okay.
Good evening and welcome, and state your name and address for the record, please.
My name is Marion Huckel, and I reside at 118 Allwood Crescent. And most of what my husband has said is absolutely true. I agree with everything, but I want it on record that I have contacted Public Health 311 numerous times to the point that they didn't even want me calling them anymore. City councilors, the MLA, the police department, the mayor's office, bylaw officers, lawyers, and I started with BFI. So other than looking at them, smelling them, I'm like up to here with them. And we've been dealing with this for 3 years, three summers. Our summers have just been totally ruined. I don't even want to live there anymore. That's how bad it is. And I wonder, why do we pay taxes when that's what you're given? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Next up, we have Bernice Weeb. Good evening. Name and address for the record, please, ma'am.
Bernice Weeb, 11 Poplin Avenue, or Drive.
Okay.
We moved there 12 years ago at the time. BFI was not present. They rented part of their property out to trailer parking. About 4 years ago, they took over the land. They actually own it. However, when they took it over, they expanded and they built another building, but then they started parking their vehicles behind there. My concern is with this reclassification to M1, it indicates that M1 states that any type use may require significant mitigation to avoid sound, noise, odor, or from any use impacting neighborhood properties. I want to ensure that this is a bite and that we don't have to smell BFI anymore, because we've had them for some time, the last 3-4 years since they've moved and parked their vehicles, that is becoming an issue for the neighborhood. Not ourselves, but beside us, everyone smelled it and complains about it, particularly when you have people coming over and you're smelling it all weekend long. So that's an issue. And I want to make sure that if it changes from C3 to M1, that it's imposed according to the bylaw. Okay.
Great. Thank you. I think Mr. Doney will respond later on. But thanks for putting your thoughts on the record. We do appreciate that.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Is there anyone else in opposition that wishes to speak to the application? Anybody else? Sorry, yes, sir. Yeah. Come on up.
Greg Shaw. I live at 11 Poplin.
Okay.
Curious matter of 101.
Okay, fantastic. We'll get you to fill out a form afterwards.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. Thank you. So we've lived there for 12 years, and initially when the custom truck had their trucks out there, they had all brand new trucks. They're parked along the back. Everything was grand, and, you know, didn't have any problems. Then they put up the new maintenance building. It's not just a building, but it's maintenance. So when they maintain the vehicles, they have the wrecking yard, as Bryant had stated. So it's like they're taking the pieces off. Well, some of those trucks and that have been there for 5, 6, 7 years, never moved. Well, you know, if you've got mosquitoes where they like to harbor, right? And tires, junk, or whatever they got laying around there. So this has gone on and on and on. So this summer, and I'm a part-time farmer, not only do we have the junk laying around there, we got weeds as high as the fence. Do you know how much money it costs? About roughly $400 from a green drop or whatever per year to get 4 or 5 applications to keep the weeds down. Like they, right now, if you go out there, the thistles are going to seed and et cetera. So I called them. I called them up in the middle of the afternoon. I couldn't talk to anyone there. Left a message. As Bryant stated earlier, guess what happens? That's what happens right there. They pull up their semi, their trailer, a 53-footer, and put her right there on the back fence. We have roughly a half acre. Bryant and Marion have a half acre with a pool. And when they get wheeling around there with their semi trucks, it's just like a West Texas dust storm. It's ridiculous. So never heard a word, not one word back, no rebuttal, no nothing. This is what we're going to do. We're sorry about this, but I got a few pictures here that just shows also our neighbors and what's, yeah, that's basically the back fence there where that BFI. Like I say, they never called, and I've been out of town for the last couple of months, and nothing, zero. I don't know what their problem is, but my better half, Bernice, we had a birthday party in the middle of July, and we had roughly 70 people over there, and all of a sudden, like Brian, Marion, the previous week, it was so bad when they had these get-togethers, the smell of the shit, to be honest. It was just wicked. And for the grandson's birthday party, it was really bad. It was just terrible. Like whenever the little gusts of wind, you could just, it's like, whoa, you know, it wasn't pleasant. So that's why I got mad. And, you know, after all these years, and we lived there roughly 12 years, so that's what it is. No, friend of mine works there as a mechanic and has so for at least 10 years. And he doesn't even, him and I never talk about the situation because he's fearful for his job, even, I would think, if he even says that he knows me as a friend. So we never talk about it. That's what's happened. 11 Poplin Drive. So and we're right on the very back fence. And Randy Skosky, that lives just not too far away, and the other, our next door neighbor in that has about the same size of property. I've talked to them, not here this evening in that, but they're, if they were here, they're Polish people in that, if they were here, you should hear what they have to say about it, but I don't know, I guess here they come.
So the smell's coming, sir, from the, it's not coming from the derelict trucks, it's coming from, I guess, bins that they're moving to the back, is that what?
They had about half a dozen trucks there that, like I say, they were pulling parts off them.
Yeah.
And then they're take them to their new maintenance shop, and then they wash their vehicles in there now. But they put down, they did a, because of the way the environment is now, when you have, like they went and put in crushed rock in the whole entire parking lot. Like, you know, where the whole, like right from their new buildings all the way around, they put this crushed rock in. But you're not allowed anymore to put the old spray down to keep the dust down. Well, after, when they wheel around there on a hot day after, you know, this year is good because it rained all the time, right? But when they wheel around there with the trucks at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the afternoon when it's windy, look out. You can go and have your patio furniture down, etc. You can go like that, and it's just gray as anything. Like, it's unbelievable. In one, like in an hour. So I'd asked them if you're going to spray some stuff down. So they did the parking lot. They said, "Yeah, we did it." They didn't do shit. In the olden days, like I say, you have a spray. You can put it down. It had a little bit more petroleum base, and it would keep that dust down, just like in the farms. You know, when you have gravel roads in front of your houses in the farms. My farm up in Swan River, they spray it for a cost of, let's say, $400, 300 meters from both sides. So people drive by, or my farmhouse, they drive by, no problem. But they don't do that, and they never did it here. And what's maybe a couple thousand dollars to them? And the weeds, like I say, the weeds, if you have farming friends or relatives or whatever, you know, weeds are wicked. And they have a real problem with weeds there. I mean, what does it take? $20 worth of chemical and you can just walk around there with a sprayer? No response, none, zero, zip. So, thanks for your time.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir. Appreciate your time.
And sharing I'll fill this up. Thoughts.
Anyone else in opposition to the application that wishes to speak that I haven't had a chance to call yet? Okay. Anyone for information? Anyone for information? Okay. Any questions for Mr. Doney before I...
Well, I just wanted to clarify that when the ladies who were speaking referenced the letter that was sent to property owners, and it notes that the M1 zoning district does not allow any type of use that may require significant mitigation to avoid sound, noise, or odor from the use impacting neighboring properties. So that's what it actually said. Just wanted to make sure it was clear.
So it doesn't allow... So we just heard about all this noise and stuff. Is PFI allowed to operate over an M1?
That type of use is allowed. Whether the sound, noise, and odor requires significant mitigation is a zoning bylaw interpretation.
Okay, so what I'm hearing from you is that we can certainly ask our zoning administrator to look into it and see if the BFI is in compliance. If not, then we'll ask them to take some corrective action, and we'll take it from there.
I can give you examples of the uses that this line is referring to.
Sure.
It's heavy manufacturing uses such as battery, chemicals, machinery, plastics manufacture, mushroom plant, batching plant, packaging plant, slaughterhouse, rendering plant. Those are the kind of uses, according to the zoning bylaw, that require significant mitigation.
And that's allowed under a different...
That's allowed in M3, Councillor, but not in M1.
Not in M1.
So M, okay, so what are you saying, sir?
I'm just saying what is meant by significant mitigation is of uses such as the ones I mentioned.
But those are M3. This is M1, right?
That's right. And those types of uses which require significant mitigation are not allowed. I'm just trying to clarify what is meant by...
You say BFI is allowed with their current operation.
So this really is a matter for zoning and permits to decide if it's a significant...
But under M1, just so that I'm clear, that the M1 company still has to be in compliance with mitigating certain levels of sound and dust and environmental factors. Is that correct? Or is that not? Is that
well, it doesn't state anything about that because those types of uses are not even allowed, so it doesn't state...
Okay.
What is BFI under, M1 or M3?
I'm sorry?
BFI is under M1.
Well, right now it's zone C31 or C3 rather. But yes, it's the recommendation to go to M1.
Mm-hmm. So that's a conditional use they can have under C3. Like they're currently operate under C3, right?
Yes, and I don't know if they're permitted. I think it's...
Conditional use?
If it's considered a fleet services use, it's either conditional or not allowed. I'd have to check the report table.
Okay. At the end of the day, what we're trying to clarify... Sorry.
Can I ask you just one...
Okay, sorry, Councillor.
Last question. Noah, actually. I can't remember what that property we were dealing with on Sunland. No, it's not this property, but it was a property in which there was some kind of conditional use, and they were looking at selling it to a similar operation to BFI.
Actually, in that situation, okay, the property was legally approved as an industrial use, and then the zoning was changed to actually a residential district. I think it's R2. So when the zoning changes, you can't take away somebody's rights if they legally established. So as long as that site, the one on Sutherland, was operating exactly the way it was approved for, then they can sell it to somebody who's going to do the exact same thing. And that's the rights of a non-conforming use. But in that situation, they wanted to do something a little bit different. And so that wasn't allowed within a non-conforming. And so they would have had to change the zoning, actually, and then they would not have supported that. Because that was in not an industrial area anymore. That's a mature community, a residential area.
Yeah. No, I was just thinking about your change of zoning.
Right.
It has. I don't know if anybody can answer this question, but I don't know how. It sounds like BFI has been there for a lot of years, although they've expanded their operation. And it's not quite the same operation there anymore as it once was, probably. But were they there before the bylaw was changed?
The bylaw was...
Because you said it was commercial highway usage, and that's probably when they bought the land and were operating it?
The current bylaw came into effect March 1st, 2008. And...
So they were established before then. It's pretty clear. So...
Yeah, any rate, I'm assuming their use would be under the C3. If it's not permitted, then it would be non-conforming, and they'd have a legal right to maintain it as it is.
It should be investigated because it sounds like they expanded their operation and changed the operations. Anyway, thanks.
Okay, Councillor Eadie, can we take the chair, please?
Yes, Councillor Patrick.
Okay, Mr. Chairman.
Actually, was there anybody here for information? I don't think.
I asked already.
Oh, you did?
Yes. Mr. Chairman, I will move that the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I'll move that the receipt of public representations be concluded.
All those in favor?
Aye.